Here we are. Here we are. It's the intro for the Ultra episode.
Yes.
You could become an Ultra today. There's a link to the description. No, link in the description. Mm. I just get mixed up to my English words there, Will.
It's all right.
Link in the description of this episode. I'm not a robot.
Shut up. Don't let them know that we use AI for the Patreon episodes.
Everything is AI now. You heard at the start all this AI talk, and then it kind of died away. That's probably not. It kept getting better.
Yeah.
I
haven't spoken to Kyle in years.
No, this is all just from the backlog, which you can get access to. If you want the source of the AI, you can go to the backlog, link in the description to this episode, become Ultra today, get all the bonus action. You have this episode today, which is covering the Arsenal game, Chelsea, Liverpool, Everton, the whole thing. Kind of a deep dive on the whole title race and how we've got this point. Next week, we'll have Champions League semi-finals coming up, so it's a great time to get on board, and we'll have all the Euros across the summer as well. So here's a little snippet of the episode. You want to get the full thing, as I say, become an Ultra today, link in the description of the episode. Take away us. Hello everybody, and welcome to a No Nonsense Podcast Ultra Edition. Midweek football. What a midweek round of games for Man United dorks, Will, and Man United fans alike.
Yeah. It was interesting watching them. Well, not even watching. Having a glance at all the games that were going on. You know, the big, huge fixtures at the top of the table, and then checking the score in Man United game and seeing, oh, we're losing to Sheffield. Oh, who cares anymore? Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, Man United continue to entertain. But really, the only thing better as a Man United fan these days, because there's no real chance of winning anything as a Man United fan. But watching Liverpool fail, I mean, that's
it's
basically the same thing, isn't it? You know, Man United succeeding, Liverpool failing.
This could have been a very dark season for Man United fans, but as it's going right now, I think everyone's like, it's up there in the last 10 years, one of my favourites.
Yeah, if Liverpool had not competed at all, it would have been a terrible season for Man United. The fact that they've competed and maybe now fallen away is actually good. It's actually a good thing.
Yeah, it's very enjoyable.
Yeah, they were playing Everton. Arsenal were playing CPFC. Was that the quality of this? Cole Palmer Football Club?
Yeah.
Crazy.
We said in the last episode about how Chelsea have become like the stars of the Premier League, because every time their game is always big news because something happens, and they didn't disappoint again.
I saw a few people tentatively saying, we're going to get something this game. We're going to cause a stir, you know, against Arsenal. I think they genuinely, because of how the last few games have gone. But anyways, look, we've covered all those games. I mean, I guess the Merseyside Derby, big game any time of the year. But one huge game for both clubs for Derby for very different reasons. Everton have had their troubles this season, both on the pitch and in the courts. But They're still trying to stay up. A win here would have been huge for them. And for Liverpool, they had to do this to try and stay within contention of City messing up. That's where Liverpool are at. So, I mean, it was weirdly a bit more hopeless for Liverpool going in, I think. It was like, we have to win this to maybe get a chance of something else and also hope that another team also drops points. So maybe that affected them. Maybe they're getting a bit tired at the end of the season. Klopp looks very... I know he said he needs a break, but I think everyone is in agreement he probably does need a break.
Whatever he felt at the time making that statement, since then, it was like, this ad needs a break from this season. Like, if you just scratch everything else, this season has really done a number on him, I think. I don't know if you saw his post-match press conference where he let out the longest sigh I've ever heard before speaking.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll ever see him again after this. I really think...
It'll be a while.
I kind of thought he said he'd take a break, but really we'll see him at somewhere else very soon. I don't think so now. I really think he's going to take an extended sabbatical and maybe go into carpentry or something, you know, something nice and calm.
Do you know what the weird thing is as well? It's not it's one thing if you're like trying everything, you know, tactically, and it's just, we keep getting pipped at the post, and you know, it's not working, we can't catch up with City. It's nothing he can do. His forwards can't score. What else can he do? They get all the chances, like, and then they have a few howlers at the back, but it doesn't feel like this has anything to do with him, really.
Yeah. Do you think Darren needs a break from Liverpool forever? Do they give you a long extended break in the sands of Arabia, perhaps? I mean, is that what he's looking at right now?
I mean, it's tough to watch week by week. There was one chance where he was one-on-one with the keeper. Not just one-on-one with the keeper. You know, sometimes a player's running into the box and you're like straight, keeper's in the middle of the goal, you're coming in. Lot of options. He had one-on-one with the keeper at the side of the goal, where the other side of the goal was wide open, and he decided to lash it at Pickford.
This is it. This is, I mean, maybe I'd say, okay, Saturday, that's a bit much, you know, but it's not that he's like, oh, he's just not quick enough to this level, just not strong enough for, he has everything. He gets in the right positions. Like that, like I said, that chance was by finishing. It was knowing that there's a side of the goal there, I guess composure, you know?
Yeah.
He lashed it, just lashed it straight at him. It was just don't hit it as hard. Don't go full power. And there's a whole goal to finish from there. I don't know. Is that confidence, composure? I don't know what intangible exactly he needs for that, to put that ball in the goal. But I mean, he had that chance. Diaz then had a slightly harder chance, but of course he didn't finish that. And then Salah had a slightly harder chance again, which is, we were talking about last week, but Man United having their season summed up. If that didn't sum up their season, it's like the different levels of strikers and the different level of chances that for them they should score, not any chances, you know, but all of them should have scored those chances. And you can't escape the comparison of Mane and Firmino. You know, I think they would have, I think I could see a depth flick from Firmino in that exact situation. Or
exactly,
Mane just getting there a little bit quicker and finishing it. I mean, I think you mentioned it there, they're not trying all these different things. It's like, this is how they play. This is the system. And these players are meant to replace the ones they lost. And it kind of all falls apart if one thing doesn't do what it's meant to. And the attackers are meant to finish those chances, you know. And then other players then, you know, it's like if you had a very strong defensive team. You didn't create many chances, but when you did, you score the goals. If your defense then doesn't do that, you're just shipping goals and your strikers aren't very fast. It's like, this whole thing is a joke. This isn't good at all. You know, if it's a very finely balanced system like that, if one thing isn't doing what it's meant to, it all kind of falls apart. But I don't know. Maybe that's the only criticism I'd have, like Klopp in this situation. It's like, it's clearly not working. Like, you clearly can't rely on Darwin or Diaz or even Gakpo. And obviously Jota is injured as well. So, I mean, you know, is there an ability to change it when it's not really going well?
Well, that's the thing, is that is, like, you listed out five or six forwards or like attacking players.
Yeah.
That really is all their options. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What else is he supposed to do?
There was some criticism about, well, from Wayne Rooney, a very happy Wayne Rooney after the game, who I think Carragher was going in on Darren, saying there's no more questions to be asked, he's not good enough, get him out. Which, I've said this to you before, like, whenever when Liverpool are going well, it's like, I think this might be the best team in the universe ever. You know, it's like, all right, whatever, you're just a fan. But it's even more apparent when they lose. And he's like pretending to be this partisan commentator when we all know he isn't. And then it's, or bipartisan commentator when he isn't. And then when they lose, like, I think Darren Rios needs to get the hell out of my club. You know,
you can't. Just a thought. Have we thought of maybe just sacking them all?
Yeah. Like, I know he's missed a lot of chances. Right. I know this isn't a stats-based pod. We've said that before. But, you know, we dabble sometimes. We looked at the big chances missed. He's missed less big chances than Haaland. Would you say Haaland? There's no more questions to ask for Haaland. He's finished. No. He's not good enough.
He got criticism last year, but there was no sense of like, this guy isn't good enough. It was all the same problems with Darren last year, but it's like, he's new. We'll work it out. It's like, he wasn't like a kid coming in. He was young, but he's like in his mid-20s. This is probably the player that he's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so you agree with Aaron Carragher that it's time to get him out then? Questions have been answered, asked and answered. He's not good enough.
I don't know. Get him out seems incredibly harsh. I don't think he should be your main man, though.
Yeah, I suppose, again, to to make comparisons with the old club team, which maybe it will end when he leaves. But I mean, it was quite, it seemed quite balanced when you had Mane and Salah who would score goals and Firmino who would, you know, move in out of space and, you know, be like the second last touch for the assist sometimes, you know. But if you remember a couple of years ago, it was this all this selfish Salah stuff. You know, he never passes. Mane hates him, you know.
Yeah, which was confirmed by Firmino then.
It was confirmed. Like, everyone could see us. And it all kind of came to a head in the African Cup of Nations. That was very kind of storybook. You couldn't write it because no one believed it. But, like, you know, it's that wasn't like a perfect system. I think you just had really good finishers there. You know, yeah. So I don't know if you need to have someone who compliments Salah and someone else who doesn't score. I think that's just what they had before. I don't know. I just think it's a strange one to have a big biased Liverpool fan on there and then just to criticize the players after the game. Like, they're out. I want them out. Like, because you are kind of on the level of like a Mark Oldbridge or someone like that afterwards who's like reacting after the game in a passionate way, which people want to see. People want to see someone lose their head. You know, that's kind of what you're at.
Like, the whole point of the punditry and stuff is you're supposed to learn things from it. Like, what's the last thing? What's the last like bit of insight you can remember from the likes of a Carragher or Neville, really? It's they've totally abandoned the act of going through the game or a tactical analysis or anything. It's all, get him out, get this guy in, this isn't good enough, that was great. Like, it's just, there's nothing, you don't glean anything from it anymore.
Yeah, I suppose, I'd imagine the ratings weren't showing people watching that, or the YouTube videos weren't getting the same views as them kind of taking personal opinions. Like, when they started first, Neville got all this praise when doing the tactical breakdowns on MNF. And now MNF is kind of like the guest spot where you get on someone like Dele Alli or Clint Dempsey or something to like, oh, you know, we got a new guest here this week on MNF. And they talk about the time they played under this thing. You never see clips of them breaking down like kind of masterclass things anymore. They have kind of abandoned that. It's all just very much, I'm a big fan of this club, you know, fan TV.
Which is annoying because I would actually like to know, like, what is going on at Liverpool, like, on a deeper level than just, oh, they can't score. I'm sure there's things going on that are beyond me. Do you know what I mean? I'd love to know that, but I'll never know.
Well, there's some stuff you could see, like McAllister kicking the ball across his own goal and then not even getting back on the line when the ball was creeping over us. I mean, that was insanely bad.
I noticed as well, for that goal, the one that went under Alisson, had me thinking, you know the way people have been saying, and Klopp even said, you know, this all started when we lost to Man United in the FA Cup. You know, it really rattled us. It was devastating, he said. And a lot of United fans have been talking about that too. I don't think it was then. I think it all coincides with a certain goalkeeper going back to being second choice.
No, you think that was on Alisson, was it?
I know, I don't think so. I think there's a lot going on. Again, you don't expect the ball to be pinging around your own box like that. What can you really do? But it is just mad how well things are going when our boy Quivine was in goal and then they get the best goalkeeper in the world back in and it all falls to shit.
Yeah, it is. As an Arsenal fan, I'm sure it's quite triggering watching this collapse. You know, going so well at the start, like these guys are so good, and then, you know, losing teams that everyone else beats. It's like, how did you lose 2-0 to different? I know it's different because of Diary, but like, just what I see in McAllister kick that ball across, try to clear it and then just like stand and like hope someone else clears it, like not even reacting, just like, oh fuck, what a mistake I've just made. Hopefully this figures itself out. As Tommy Cabrion runs past you to kick it in, I was like, oh, like that is the kind of stuff that would drive you spare, you know? And it's like, that's a classic Arsenal thing, you know, just banter FC kind of thing, you know?
Well, we said when Dyche came in, because like Everton are now like always down in amongst the relegation battle, and now they play relegation football. Do you know what I mean? Like the Dyche ball, it really does change the perception of a team. Now it feels like, nice one, we're out of relegation with four games to go. A few years ago, Everton were like challenging for Europe. It's insane to see how quickly they've fallen, and now it's like this is just the new norm for them. We're kind of finished around 15th, 16th every year, and that'll do us. And especially now with the point deductions and all the like the problems with the new stadium and the money, I think they're in this world, Dyche's world, for a long time still to come.
Fuck. That's not what everyone fans want to hear. No. Yeah, it would be like, in one way you could frame it as, despite the powers that be trying to bring us down, trying to kick us out of the Premier League, we still survived and we'll be back to fight another day. But yeah, I guess from a footballing kind of, you know, side of it, can you imagine someone like Carlo Ancelotti coming in now? Like, that seems like...
No way.
Which happened. Like, even the time when it happened, it was like, this is a bit weird that someone like that would come in. But to a certain extent, it's like, okay, well, it's still plausible. Like, it's not like completely... I wouldn't have said it. No one would have predicted this, but still, it's not crazy. Now it's like, wow, that would be insane to have Tarkovsky being managed by Carlo Ancelotti. You know, it's just...
Because it'd be like Ancelotti coming into... It feels like a Burnley or a Luton. It feels like they're in amongst those types of clubs now. Even though they haven't been relegated yet. But it feels like any day now. It's not this year, maybe not next, but it's coming.
Yeah, next year I think it has to be the year where they make a huge jump, huge improvement to get out of that kind of like perennial relegation candidates, you know. And I don't know why they would make that next year. I don't know. I don't see how they would make that or why they'd make that. So,
At least they're not going to have a... Well, it's hard to say at least. They're not going to have a final day pitch invasion over delight at not getting relegated this year, which I think they had 2 years in a row under Lampard. Is that right?
Last year, don't think it was Lampard. It was someone else. It was Dice last year.
Oh, yeah. It was the year before. They did it once under Lampard, the heroic escape. Where is that? Thank fuck for that.
Yeah, the heroic escape under Lampard. Last year, then it was the same thing. It's like, we're staying up. And then everyone was like, I'm actually mad about this. And they were booing and they were throwing stuff off the pitch. This year, there'd be none of that. No
self-respecting
Everton fan will be on the pitch. Because, like, you know, where can they even finish, I guess? Look at the table. Where are they even, you know, upper bottom half? Like, that's not invade the pitch if you're Everton, you know. But hey, great win. Great victory, boys. Such a negative way to end of that. The other game on Tuesday night, Arsenal played Chelsea, the club formerly known as Chelsea FC. Formerly Chelsea, formerly Blue Billion Pound Bottle Job, currently Cole Palmer FC.
One of the maddest things a manager could say, I think, because it so easily backfires when what obviously could happen happens.
Yeah. Mauricio Pochettino kind of laid down the gauntlet before the game, fair to say that, like, hey, let's prove to these people that we're not Cole Palmer FC. I am terminally online. I'd have never seen that. Anybody said it before. I don't know who's been saying that or who's been in his ear saying, you know what they're saying about us? So to coin your own phrase about your club and then to have it now it is that forever, you know. The only time I've ever seen anything like that is when Pep called Tottenham the Harry Kane Club.
Yes, which I think has famously backfired as Tottenham went on to beat Man City every time they played them.
Yeah, it's just a weird thing to call a team. It's kind of almost juvenile. It's like especially in this era of ball knowledge and not having ball knowledge. It's like it'd be kind of silly to even say that. It's like you don't know any of the players that they have, you know. So
it also. It's disrespectful to not only your own players at Chelsea, but also it's disrespectful to Cole Palmer, as in, like, we're way bigger than just him, lads. He's amazing. You shouldn't be saying anything negative about him at all.
Yeah, well, I don't disrespect him, but definitely put pressure on him. It's like, you're the star. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, everyone's saying it. Again, it's like we were saying about the individuals, like, just... It's an a collection of individual players out here, and here's our best individual, Cole Palmer. It's just like he seems, of all the managers, Will, Pochettino, I think, may actually be a bit of a fraud.
Confirmed.
Like, of all his years of management experience, out, why would he say that? I know, okay, English isn't his first language, but even still, in terms of managing people, the pressure on Cole Palmer, pressure on other players, who you're playing, Arsenal, who are top of the league, and then you're going to lay it up on that.
It's a derby. It's a type of derby. It's not one of the big ones, but it's a derby.
To give a self alley for the oop like that, just criminal. To even tempt that kind of fate is the risk versus reward is just not even worth it. Do you know, even if Chelsea had won that.
Even if everything goes well, and you, if that Chelsea team without Cole Palmer hammer Arsenal, like after it, what do those players go? Yeah, we don't need Cole Palmer.
Fuck Cole Palmer. You know, it's like,
what's the part? It's like, no, 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 not what I meant. Who needs him?
We're going to kill Cole Palmer. No, no, no. Like, what was his, what do you think was going to happen in even the best case scenario? It's just, why, as a manager of people, like, why would you think that was a good idea? I don't know. But it obviously backfired. Maybe not in the worst way now we think about it, but it backfired in a way that they got hammered.
Imagine if, like, you were sick or something and we had to do a podcast episode for some reason. Like, it was the Champions League finals. Like, oh, we can't miss it. And I started the podcast, you know, I'm going to prove the podcast today is not Call Podcast. It's not the Call Show, okay?
it doesn't make any sense. But, yeah. As we know, they went on to last 5-0 and just didn't even try in the game. So they didn't
5-0?
Well, there you go. What do you think?
I've just listened back. It's pretty good, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you liked it. Well, audience, what did you think? Have you ever seen Dora the Explorer? It's like that, you know.
It's all about engagement, but like there is a comment section on Spotify, but it doesn't really work well. So we're trying a new thing. We're trying direct conversation. Yeah.
Intangible engagement, they call us. You know, it, like I say, it worked for Dora for years. She's one of the biggest things
she's
in the world.
Huge.
Right now.
If we could be half Dora, we'd be massive.
Oh, God. That would be the dream, you know. I'd sell out to be half Dora.
If you want to help us get to being half Dora, patreon.com/nonsensepod. Link in the description here. You get the rest of that episode. That was a nice 20 minutes, but there was a good 40 minutes, 35-ish minutes still to go where we talk about some things going on in La Liga, some big moves happening that could be coming to a league near you.
Conspiracy theories as well in there, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, we've got our tinfoil hats on.
What's your favorite conspiracy theory?
No, you can't.
Wow, that's crazy. Don't be saying that again.
What the hell is wrong with you? We're just having a bit of a laugh.
Okay, that's not what I meant at all. That's not even a conspiracy
theory. That's all we have time for. We may go, that's insane. Don't ever.
Okay, right. Well, this is the. I can't believe you said that.
About those people, you can't be saying that.
You couldn't hear that in the Rogan Experience. My God. The Rogan Experience, not even the Joe Rogan Experience.
AI's glitching again.